You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. And everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
Unacceptable in all areas. Unacceptable coaching, unacceptable playing, unacceptable effort. Not what we're about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really, you know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Certainly, like I said, coached our kids to do the right thing and you know, play with poise, play with confidence, play with dignity, play with class. At the same time, we're not going to take anyone's shit either.
We want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
We're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
All I want to do is fucking eat. I want you to eat. I want you to eat. I want you to want this shit. Do you want it? Do you want it? Show me.
Bunch of them did it again.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, doing good, Shane. And guess what? I heard the damn dumbest question of the college football season. Let's kick it over to our old buddy Jalen Hurts.
Just to clear it up, you prefer winning to losing this week?
All right. Didn't hear a response from Jalen Hurts, it's because he was just shaking his damn head.
Dude, I'd give $100 for somebody asked Saban that, you know? Wouldn't that be? Saban Jr. up here, he was staring right through him, man. Who asks a dumb question like that? I thought that maybe there's an inside joke, but apparently this guy's just an idiot.
Well, I'll tell you who's not an idiot, Shane. That's old Coach O and, of course, Bear Bryant. I did not know this. Obviously, Coach O went to LSU. He was only there for a brief period. Then he left. Ended up going to, I believe it's Northwestern State, the same team LSU played this year. But he was asked during his Monday presser. We'll get to a lot more Coach O comments here in just a minute. But I just thought this was too good not to start the show with Coach O on being recruited by Alabama and Bear Bryant.
Coach, what do you remember about Alabama recruiting you out of high school? Did Bear call you?
Yeah. Bear was going to come to my house. My daddy said, nope.
What would that have been like in your hometown and in your family?
It would probably have been big. I forgot the assistant coach that was recruiting me. And he said, Coach, we want to come home visit. I asked my daddy. He said, uh-uh. That's the way it should be. I wish it was like that today.
All right, Shane. So how about that, Coach O? His dad, they called him Bebe. That's the same nickname Coach O's got, it, believe it or not. Old Bebe, he would not have an old Bear Bryant in his damn house.
Oh, Bebe. Oh, man, I just love it when he gets all tickled, you know. He's got a hilarious laugh. And he's like, I think it should be this way. I wish it was still this way. That's awesome. Oh, man. I'd love to see Bear Bryant trying to call up there and talk to Bebe, see if he can come over and see his boy play. Oh, that's classic.
All right, Shane, you ready to go around the league?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
In Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
All right, Chad. So, of course, we are in week 11, but we like to do this on every Tuesday show. Started off here with the week kickoffs for 2 weeks ahead, essentially. So we're in week 11, but the SEC on Monday announced the week 12 kickoffs. So we're just going to run by these real quick for everybody here. Florida at Missouri, Shane. That's going to be the noon Eastern time kick on CBS. So this is 2 weeks away. This is going to be the first doubleheader for CBS. Florida at Missouri at noon. Then we got Alabama at Mississippi State. That's going to be at noon as well on ESPN. Georgia, Auburn. That's the second CBS game. 3:30 Eastern time, 2:30 Central. So that's the typical CBS time slot there. Kentucky at Vanderbilt, 3:30 Eastern time on SEC Network. LSU at Ole Miss, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And then finally, Shane, South Carolina at Texas A&M, 7:30 Eastern time on SEC Network. Anything jump out to you about those games, Shane?
I'm trying to think. What was the last one you said there?
South Carolina at Texas A&M, that great old SEC rival. That's a rivalry, believe it. I think that's a damn Davy Crockett one or something, but
yeah.
where no one knows where the damn trophy is and all that.
Oh, man, but it's an important game. They've got to, I don't know. There's a lot of important pivotal games that week, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are going to be decided. That Auburn-Georgia, there's a lot of implications on that game. So a lot of people are going to be watching that. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on that South Carolina game. Here's what's got to happen, Mike. I got to have Georgia. I seen this come out. Georgia has got to lose. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other one? Missouri.
Basically, everyone has to lose every time. And
Missouri
Tennessee
has to
win out. Well, we know that ain't happening. But you're right about that Georgia-Auburn game, Shane, because this is the only shot Auburn's got to stay in the playoff. Georgia, if they win this game against Auburn, it's going to be tough, but it's basically going to clinch the East for them.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, Missouri. Missouri's got a two-game winning streak in that series, so that's kind of interesting. Alabama's going to be coming off that LSU game, going into Mississippi State with an 11-game winning streak in that series. Yeah, there's going to be some good ones here. South Carolina's never beaten Texas A&M, ever. So this could be a shot to do it.
Let me ask you something, and we're talking hypotheticals here.
Uh-huh.
If Georgia loses to Auburn, not saying they're going to, but if they do, and then they end up winning the SEC championship, does a two-loss Georgia team make the playoffs?
So you're asking if Georgia's got two losses but still wins the SEC?
Right. Because that could happen. Auburn could beat them. They still get to go into the SEC championship game. And let's say they beat a one-loss team.
I think they'd have to beat an undefeated team.
I
think that would give them enough to get in the college football playoff. I don't think you could keep the SEC champion out even if they got two losses.
Oh, man. Could you imagine?
But that's probably the scenario where the SEC does get left out. If there's, three other undefeateds or something, I could potentially see it. But I don't know. We may have to stop this podcast if they leave the damn SEC out of the college football playoff. I ain't having that one.
No, we're going. Where's this SEC thing at? They're in South Carolina. Is that where the home base? No, wait. Who decides the college playoffs?
It's in Dallas.
Okay, we're going to Dallas, baby. We're gonna hook up with Jerry. Well, I'm gonna hang out with him for a little. We're gonna do a live podcast in the parking lot of the committee, and we're gonna report everything we see in here because there's gonna be some damn rioting if the SEC team's left out. I just thought about that, and I mean, realistically, it could happen. I doubt it will, but there's still that long shot, man, because somebody's going to get left out at some point, and they're going to change this four-team playoff to an eight-team.
Well, speaking of playoff, Shane, let's kick it over to the game that may decide the SEC's college football playoff spot here. Of course, LSU at Alabama, number one versus number two. Biggest game of the year in college football, potentially, at least the regular season. So many storylines here, Shane. I think the biggest one for me is everything that LSU, what we've seen this season with Joe Burrow throwing all over the yard, with his receivers having all these big games. It was all done because they cannot do anything against Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, even if they lose this game against Alabama, let's make it clear, I'm not predicting that right now or anything, but even if they come up short against Alabama, I think we've seen so much success from this LSU offense that we can already say it's a success. I mean, they're getting five-star receivers to commit. They're getting five-star tight ends to commit. So it's working, and it's likely going to continue to work. But the biggest test of all is obviously against this Alabama, you know, showing something. Because we got too many damn games where they're getting shut out against Alabama. They're scoring 10 points against Alabama. That's just not going to cut it. Uh-huh. Thoughts on this one, Shane? I mean, so many storylines here. That even the Heisman Trophy could be won or lost this week between Tua, if he plays, and Joe Burrow. You got to think that whichever guy has a bigger game in this one, it's going to be like their Heisman moment, if you will. What are the biggest storylines in your mind going into this matchup?
Yeah, a couple. I think obviously the biggest one is Tua's ankle. I mean, if Tua's not out there, this is a totally different Alabama offense. They still got a lot of weapons, but, you know, I've got a lot more confidence in Tua than I do anybody else on that team, you know. So I think that's the biggest storyline, and that's an obvious one. But the other one for me is the fact that LSU and the teams that they've played, I don't think that Alabama is going to be their toughest defense that they've faced this year. I think they've already faced two tougher defenses, and they've beat them both. Mm-hmm. And I think that adds, that bodes well for the LSU Tigers. But the thing that scares me, you remember last year, we were talking about this game for like 3 weeks, and it became a huge event, and it felt like LSU played a little scared, and they can't do that. They can't let Alabama get in their heads, you know. We make jokes about the red team a few years ago with Tennessee. That's the way they got to view this, as just any other normal game. And if they do that and they stick to something that Coach talks about, sticking with their fundamentals, they're going to be fine, because like I said, I don't think that they've played a team. I don't think Alabama is as good on defense. Now, I will say this, as far as offense, they've not faced a team anywhere close, especially if Tua's out there. So I really do think this could be a high-scoring game. But, yeah, I think obviously this comes down to quarterback play, and if Tua's healthy, then I think Alabama's got a fighting shot to win.
Yeah, now you said something interesting there, Shane. Alabama not facing, you know, not having the defense that some of these LSU has seen this year. And I think you'd also say, I mean, looking at Alabama's schedule, they've not played anyone up to this caliber of LSU. I don't even think they've really seen a decent quarterback this year. I mean, they've seen Kellen Mond and John Rhys Plumlee, but he's more of, at this point, just like an athlete. Mm-hmm. So this is a completely different challenge that Alabama's going to face. I think Nick Saban's really enjoying, though, all this talk of his defense is terrible and they haven't played nobody. I mean, I think that'll really get him going. And how about this one, Shane? Looking at it from this way, LSU, they've not really faced a lot of tough road games this year. Now, they obviously won the big game at Texas, but Vanderbilt, I mean, that was a joke. That was an LSU crowd. They had to win at Mississippi State, which was tough for about two quarters. Then they just took control of it. So can LSU go on the road and do this? I mean, that's also going to be interesting. A lot going on in this one, Shane. Can't wait for it, but it's going to be really.
Is Alabama doing like Georgia and like removing seats and making like, you know, making it so that they can have a larger capacity game? Because, man, I'm curious what I haven't even looked what tickets are going for in this game. It's got to be astronomical, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen upper deck tickets going for about $900 a piece. So I can't imagine what the primo seats are going for these days down for LSU Alabama. But man, so much storylines going into this one. There was a lot of news out of Baton Rouge. But let's start here in Tuscaloosa, Shane.
Roll Tide!
Let's kick it over to Nick Saban. who obviously, yeah, we say Alabama's not played an opponent of this caliber just yet, but just about everybody on this roster, aside from the true freshmen, I mean, they've played in SEC championship games, college football playoff games. They play in big games, so this is going to be nothing new to most of these guys. Obviously, nothing new to Nick Saban. He knows how to get the most out of his teams in these moments. He also obviously talked about Tua and the status of that ankle and all that's going on there, on facing Joe Burrow and this LSU offense. And then this is just kind of an interesting question he was asked on, you know, the 2011 game of the century, 9-6 in overtime. This game's going to be a completely different animal. I mean, this could be 55-54 by the end of it. So just on how much these two programs have both changed in relatively a short amount of time here.
What have you learned over the years with a game like this and the hype around it? How have you learned how to manage that?
Well, I think the big thing you want the players to do is not get involved in the hype surrounding the game, or even think about the implications of the game, but prepare for the game as if this is the best team you've played and the player that you're going to play is the best player you played against at his position all year long, and therefore you're going to need to challenge yourself to play your best and be your best as a football player and stay focused, you know, on that, and not the distractions that surround the game relative to implications or whatever gets created relative to the circumstance of the game.
Coach, what's the practice plan at quarterback today and going forward this week?
Right. Well, you know, been pretty consistent on the message with Tua. You know, if he can play in the game, it'll be a game time decision. You know, he did practice 2 days last week. We'll see where he's at today, and then we'll manage the reps accordingly. And when I say that, we cannot predict, you know, if he goes out there today and he looks good, then his rep count is going to go up and we'll prepare him as if he's going to have an opportunity to play in the game. If he has a setback during the week, there's, you know, we can't really control that, but that would change the plan. The way we practice on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you know, both quarterbacks are going to get pretty much the same reps, and that's probably how we'll manage it this week in terms of their preparation.
Two kind of obviously related questions. First off, Joe, you talked about the new system. How good a job has Joe Burrow done and them fitting the system to him and vice versa?
Well, I think that Joe is very capable of making every throw. I think he's very bright in terms of throwing the ball the right place relative to the defense. I think he's very athletic, so sometimes when those plays aren't there, he extends plays and makes plays down the field, and he also has the capability of running and creating some problems for the defense from that standpoint. So he's a very good scrambler, I guess, to run or to throw. And their receivers do a really good job when he does extend plays of playing scramble rules and trying to get themselves open so he has some options. So I think he fits the scheme very well, but I think he's a very talented guy, and I think he'd do well in any system. But because this is more of a spread system now, I think he can see what's happening and make good decisions, and he's been very effective.
Hey, Nick, when you look at what you guys are doing offensively now, what they're doing offensively, how much does that underscore how much both teams have changed and the need to be able to evolve and change offensively, especially when you look back 7-8 years ago to you guys?
Yeah, well, I think that's a very accurate observation in terms of, you know, we've become more of a spread team. They have become more of a spread team. We've done it for a few years now. You know, this is their first time to really sort of open it up, and it's paid tremendous dividends. And I think it certainly features the skill players that they have in a very positive way, and the quarterback. And you know, it's an indication that when you put these skill players in open positions, how much more difficult it is to defend the space, you know, whether it's vertical or horizontal on the field. And you know, you make it more difficult for the defense because they have to make a lot of plays in space. So and I think That's the way the game is going now. And if you look at some of the most successful teams offensively, I think they're pretty much all playing that way. Much more difficult to make explosive plays just running the ball. And these guys make a ton of explosive plays because of what they've evolved to.
All right, Shane, so it's business as usual, it sounds like, for Nick Saban. I don't know if it really is behind closed doors, but, you know, I just thought of this question I want to pose to you, Shane, because this game is going to be obviously huge for everyone involved, everybody at Alabama and LSU and the players and the fans and everything. But which, I don't know which team this game matters more to personally. Is it Alabama, who, I don't want to say they're getting disrespected, but they're not number one anymore. They've been hearing all this hype about LSU. Or is it LSU where, yeah, I mean, they've accomplished a lot. Everyone's giving them praise. But if they can't beat Alabama, it's just, as Coach O would say, it's not worth a hill of beans. It's not worth nothing if you just can't. This is the team. I mean, you've got to finally do something in this. There's always hype around this damn game. And LSU, more often than not, lays a damn egg. Who is this game bigger for, in your mind, going into this one?
It's a great question, Mike, and I'm going to have to lean more toward LSU right now. It just seems like this is a hill that they can't get over. This is almost, it feels like, and no disrespect to Georgia or any team in the East, but it feels like the SEC championship, man. Like, whoever wins this is going to be playing. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's kind of got that vibe, and
Kirby's going to be playing this one in the locker room this week.
I'm not saying that to disrespect anybody in the East, but, you know, it's always been Alabama's division. It's always been Alabama in the SEC against everybody else. And there's been teams that have come close. There's been teams that's beat them in the past. But, you know, here you got LSU that it has beaten some great quality opponent teams and have steamrolled a few teams in the process. And it's just, I don't know, like, if it's not this year, then when? You know, it just feels like you're catching Alabama at the right time. Your quarterback Tua's banged up. You've got some question marks on the defensive side of the ball. You've got some question marks in the running game, you know, things that you haven't had in the past with the University of Alabama. So I think it means more to LSU than it does Alabama. What do you think?
Yeah, I will agree with everything you said, but I would also, man, I hate to get in this area because I really don't like all these shows and how they, you know, half the damn year it just seems like they want to talk about the college football playoff and who's in and who's out and how the SEC can get three teams in and how the Pac-12 can't get nobody in. And then a week later, they're saying, my God, Oregon's in. You know, I really hate that. But I could see a scenario here, Shane, where LSU drops this game.
Yeah.
And as long as they win out, I think they're getting into the college football playoff as well. So I think I'm going to flip it on you. I think this game means more to Alabama, given the fact when these rankings come out, I don't think Alabama's going to be the top team. They may not even be the top two. And if Alabama can't get this one, I know their name carries a lot of weight, but what are they going to have on that resume, particularly if Georgia beats Auburn in a couple weeks? What will Alabama be able to point to say, hey, we deserve to be in this college football playoff? They'll have almost nothing. I mean, they beat Texas A&M. Who are they beating? They'll have beaten like a four-loss Auburn. I mean, that, yeah. I just don't think that's going to cut it. So I think for Alabama, I think this game means more. There's going to be all this hype. A lot of people going to be picking LSU based on what we've seen. I think this game means more to Alabama.
Dude, that's deep. That's next level stuff, man. Of course, you did make this question, so you may have been thinking this answer for a while. But I see what you're saying, man. Does a one-loss Alabama get in? You know, because let's just say we don't know what the SEC championship is going to hold. I mean, Georgia could beat LSU, you know. And then at that time, do you leave LSU out, a team that beat Alabama? You know what I'm saying? There's just Yeah, you're right. There's a lot more riding on this game than I was thinking about. And Oh, man, if Saban and Bama doesn't make the playoffs, good God, they're going to burn something down there, buddy. I'm telling you.
Then we'll the very next day, we'll expand to 8. Even though, by God, we're not getting left out again, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But I'm with you, man. There's so much on this game, period. And one thing that I was thinking about, too, I wanted to ask you. You know, it's a 7-point spread right now in favor of Alabama. But if Alabama, if they came out today and they said Tua is not going to be playing in this game, how do you think the spread will be adjusted at that point?
I think it'd be knocked down to about a pick 'em.
Oh, you think so? Just a straight pick 'em, a little home field advantage for Bama still?
Right. So, yeah. Because they still got all those weapons. I mean, obviously, you got to think LSU is going to be the pick by most people in that standard, but I still wouldn't be picking totally against them at home. I don't know. I mean, that'd be fascinating, but I really expect Tua to play. I don't expect him to be at 100%. I don't care what you're hearing out of Tuscaloosa. I mean, Listen to it this way. I mean, you had some, and I got all the respect for the people down there reporting on it and all that, but I mean, it was like the day he had the surgery, he was like, oh man, this went better than the last one. It's like, what in the hell are you talking about? Like his ankle's probably still bleeding. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's going better. Like,
it's good.
They're getting that sold to him. You know, trust me, he is not going to be, he was not 100% last year and he had a month. So, yeah. I mean, he'll play, but I don't expect him to run much in this one, and I think that could be the difference in the game.
Mm.
So let's kick it over to the other side, Shane. Let's jump on down to Baton Rouge.
Go Tigers.
And we had some kind of a shocking news here to lead the day. Starting linebacker Michael Divinity has left the team. That's a blow, obviously, going into this one. And also Grant Delpit, he's been kind of banged up. He got hurt against Auburn. He's not been practicing during the bye week. He was not at practice on Monday. They, you know, Coach O says he's probably, you know, they expect him to play for Alabama, but I don't know. I don't know if you can just kind of take, I'm not saying he's taking the week off or anything, but if he's too banged up to practice, we'll see if he sees the field. But there's two things I wanted to hit you with before we jump over here to Coach O, Shane. The fact that, remember this time last year, it was LSU got dominated on the line of scrimmage, and a lot of the same faces, particularly for LSU. I know Quentin Williams is obviously gone from Alabama. He was the damn wrecking ball of the whole thing, but that's got to be something. And then the biggest thing, where we've been hearing this guy's name all year, not necessarily been hearing it that much leading into it, but there was a really good question asked about it, but Joe Brady, their passing game coordinator, how big of an impact is he, considering he's never faced Alabama? They've never schemed up against him. I mean, I think he could be the X factor that I'm not saying he's going to have Nick Saban's number, but I think this guy's like 30 years old and Nick Saban's about 120. He's got more knowledge than this guy ever thought about having at this point in his career.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm really interested to see what Joe Brady brings to this game that Saban may not be expecting.
Let me ask you first off on Divinity, as you know, it said personal reasons. Have you heard anything else? I mean, is this something that maybe got in trouble or we just.
No, I don't think so. I think it genuinely is personal, something he's dealing with. I mean, this is a guy that he's been in and out kind of all season.
Right.
Coach O is saying that there's potential he could return. And he has kind of come out with a social media post indicating that he will try to make it back. So I don't really want to speculate on what he's dealing with, but it truly sounds like an issue that he needs time away to kind of resolve and then hoping he can get back. So this does not at all, I mean, I know the timing is terrible, but it doesn't sound like they've booted this kid. And
yeah,
because I don't think they would even do that for Alabama.
You know, just do it one more week. So, I don't know. I kind of felt like, you remember White getting suspended last year against Bama, first half, you know? I just felt like
Gary that's all he wanted to talk about.
Oh, for a whole half, we were talking about Devin coming out there and just tearing it up. But, you know, I think I don't know. You said that this is very similar to last year, and I kind of want to agree with you, but – but I kind of want to disagree with you because I think that the offense that they're running now, Joe Brady's implemented here with LSU, is just it's a totally different animal than it was last year. You know, last year they kind of, you know, if you remember, I mean, LSU was all about defense and the running game, and this is like the total opposite now. They've got a bend but don't break approach with the defense, and they're just, you know, they're able to air it out and get all these weapons going with offense. So, and that's one thing, you know, you look at some of the games that Bama's had, you know, the things that they're really strong at LSU, Bama's had some trouble defending. So I think they match up better this year as far as an LSU fan than an Alabama fan, just because, like I said, just what LSU's so strong at, you know, Bama, and I'm not making it sound like Bama's just horrible, because they're not. Bama's always going to be good. They got plenty of talent, and if anybody can coach these guys up and come up with a game plan to prepare for the LSU Tigers, it's going to be Nick Saban, and who better than the guy that's going against a similar offense, not identical, but similar offense with Tua and the Crimson Tide all summer. You know, these guys have been practicing against each other all year long. So I think there's a slight advantage there. I guess if you want to slice it that way, I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling and thinking too much about this right now.
Well, let's kick it over to Coach O'Shane. He had a lot of good comments here on Monday. So this is kind of a lengthy one, but this is such a big game. I thought it was worthy of it. Coach O, on how far his team has come since he's taken it over, on Joe Burrow and the confidence he provides the team, the lessons learned of Alabama weeks previously, on Joe Brady, we just talking about him, and then could be the key to the game for LSU on defense, defending these amazing Alabama receivers.
Hey Ed, could you give us an updated status on Michael Divinity and where he's at with the team in this situation?
Michael Divinity has left the team for personal reasons.
And how do you see the outside linebacker depth filling his absence?
Well, Kelvin Chassol has been taking most of the reps, so Andre Anthony is going to be there, Ray Thornton's going to be there. We should be fine.
Coach, how much of this game is psychology in terms of you're playing a game this week? You're not playing the previous eight games or the game you played last year against Alabama and.
Yeah.
Believing you can win.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. Just like when we play Auburn, just like when we play Florida. What happened in the past has nothing to do with this. This is a new game, a new week, a new football team. So new players on their side, new players on our side. Has nothing to do with it.
When you took the job 3 years ago, you cited Alabama as the benchmark for the SEC and for your program. I'm curious how much ground, how do you compare the programs? How much ground have you all made up, you think?
Well, you can tell by the rankings. It looks like we made up some ground, but, you know, we still got to beat them. I mean, that's, you know, you still got to beat them. You still got to go through them to win the SEC West against the SEC Championship. We've had some tests this year. We've answered the bell, and I do believe we have tremendous leadership. I do believe we're well-equipped to compete with these guys. I believe it's going to be a great game.
Certainly talent and preparation matter in games like this, but does confidence, and if it does having that guy, Joe Burrow, give you that advantage?
No question. He made some comments to me already right after the last game, so he's going to be ready. He's a leader. You know, we've been looking forward to this game, but we're not going to treat this game different than any other game. This is the next game on our schedule. There'll be bigger games down the road for us. But we understand, we have respect for Alabama. We understand what they do well. We understand what we do well. It's going to be a great game.
Now that you've faced off with Alabama a few times as a head coach, I mean, just in terms of the way you prepare with your team for it, go into the week, I mean, have you learned any lessons, I guess, in that sense?
Yeah, you know, don't overhype it. There's going to be enough hype out there. Just, you know, stick to the fundamentals. Although there's great wide receivers, there's great quarterbacks, you still have to win the line of scrimmage here. Last year, we didn't win the line of scrimmage. They ran the ball on us. The year before, they threw the ball on us. So, you know, we got to play well in every area, in every area of our football team. But it just goes back to fundamental. And this week, tackling is going to be a premium. They're very dangerous with yards after contact. That's where they make most of their plays.
I think it's my turn. Hey, Coach Marty Smith from ESPN. I know you want to treat it like another game. It's one against two, man. How do you define what's at stake Saturday?
Well, SEC championship, SEC West, going to the SEC championship, having a chance to be in the college football playoffs, having a chance to win the national championship. I mean, that's for us is every game in the SEC. I mean, to get to where you want to go, it seems like you have to go undefeated. You have to beat Alabama. You have to keep on going, and then you have to win the SEC championship. And then you get the college football playoffs, you know. So if you start thinking about all that stuff, it becomes overwhelming for your football team. But we know what's at stake, but we don't talk about that. Today's going to be Tell the Truth Monday. I'm going to talk more about the Tiger Bowl than anything, about the guys that played well, because I want our guys loose and relaxed and go play a football game.
Coach, down here on your right, when you talk about LSU, Alabama, people around here, I think, are so deep in it, sometimes talk about it so much, it's like you can't see the forest through the trees. but Joe Brady's not from here, right? So what do you think? Does Joe Brady, has he brought a new perspective on this game and how to attack it?
Confidence. He's worked very hard on Alabama. We started on Alabama last spring. First of all, we looked at our game last year, where we didn't do very well, with some of the things that we can do better. I think Joe's very good at dissecting film, very good at looking at strengths and weaknesses and putting our guys in the right position. Him and Steve have worked tirelessly all week last week. One went out on Monday, then Joe stayed in all weekend. Steve stayed in on Monday, he went out on Friday, so they took turns. They've been in the office all week. Obviously, I believe we're going to put our guys in the best position, but as you know, players got to make plays. And we went down there 2 years ago, and we had a skinny post open three times. We didn't hit it. You got to make the plays, but I do believe we have the quarterback to do it now.
Coach, further talking about defending Alabama, these four wide receivers they have that run 4-4 better, it seems like they run these quick slants, they catch it, and it's over.
Yeah.
How do you defend that? And with your defensive backs, you've talked about the best group you've been around.
We were talking about it at 6 o'clock this morning, to be honest with you, about, you know, the outside release slant. And we saw other teams not playing it very well, and they make big plays. We've all seen that. I do believe that if they're playing man coverage, you're probably going to catch the slant. But it should be for a 3 or 4 yard gain, not for a 10 or 15 yard gain. I believe that the tackles that we make in the open field are going to be critical. We're going to have to take those things away. Obviously, when you take those things away, you give up something else, and they're very good at finding it. So it's going to be a chess match. I do believe that Coach Aranda has been working on this for a long time, along with our analysts, and that we have a very good game plan. But it's going to come down to blocking and tackling. It always does.
All right, Shane. One thing I really, you know, aside from the Joe Brady stuff we already talked about, Joe Burrow, I mean, he's given LSU such a confidence boost this year. And now it's going to be the ultimate test. I kind of hit on it there. If LSU wins this game, I don't think there's any way Joe Burrow does not win the Heisman Trophy. I think it's that big for his chances. But the one thing that really stuck out to me here, Coach O, on, you know, the lessons learned of playing against Alabama, not to make it too big. Sounds like clearly they've done that in the past. This could just be more of the, I don't know if you want to call it the evolution of Coach O, but not doing what has failed to work in the past. He's mixing things up, and it's worked incredibly well with this offense. Thoughts on Coach O saying, trying not to make too big of a deal about Alabama. Is that to me, it seems like a mistake, but if maybe he's made it too big before and it blew up in his face.
I think you're right. I think last year it was too big. They were on the big stage. LSU felt like they couldn't make a mistake, and then when they did, it was just too late, you know. That's kind of what it felt like. They let the game get away from them last year, and they can't do that this year. And I'm kind of with Coach, but how can you say that? Hell, we start talking about this game, and 2 minutes in, we're talking playoffs. You know what I'm saying? We know that it means a lot. These guys know that they mean a lot, you know. But I do think that there's going to be a different type of attitude in this game. I still think Bama is going to have that swagger that they are the best team in the nation, you know. And why not? LSU's not beat them yet. And LSU, though, I think is going to have kind of that attitude that we can beat anybody, and we've proved it. And I don't think they're going to feel like this stage is too big for them, but I guarantee they're going to have some butterflies going into this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, how could you not? Like you said, I mean, this is the game of the year. Everything's on this. This is what you play for. You know, coaches always say that's so cheesy, but I think if you're Alabama and LSU, this legitimately is. This is a college football playoff game in the regular season, and you just don't get a whole lot of that around the country.
Mm-mm.
All right, Shane, we got some other teams to hit on here. Let's start here in Lexington. This is something really wanted to hit on here. Kind of meant to mention it yesterday, but so much going on. And Shane's cracking open another one. He's ready for some Tennessee-Kentucky talk here. But before we jump over to the meat of what Coach Stoops had to say about Tennessee, I wanted to just open it up here. Of course, we hit on this on the previous episode. Willie Taggart, we all know by now, out at Florida State. And one of the names that has popped up, Mark Stoops, his connections to Florida State, his connections to the state of Florida. He's always recruiting down there for the Wildcats. Coach Stoops was asked about that, Shane. Let's kick it over. Let's just start just with these Stoops FSU comments, and then we'll discuss it on the back end here.
Since Willie Taggart was dismissed, your name has been on the short list of candidates for all the media types that are creating those lists. How do you address that speculation?
You know, it's something that you don't really want to address in season. There's, you know, I guess it's better than the alternative. For us, for myself, it's 100% concentration on Tennessee. That's all I want. It's all I want our team to focus on. That's all you can do. I guess with success, you're going to have some of that. For me, sitting around here, this is 6.5 years. I sit there and listen to Coach Cal, and every year he's going to the NBA, right? you just dismiss it and concentrate on the things that you could control. I'm not going to get into speculation. I'm going to talk about University of Kentucky in Tennessee.
How much does a speculation like you with the Florida State stuff affect recruiting? And even just going back to maybe when
it probably affects that a little bit more in that than just what goes on in this world and this media with social media and all that. I don't mean to be so old that I can't understand that, but it's just a little bit absurd how fast things go, and you know, people like to get out in front of their skis really far in that world. So that just needs to be addressed, but nothing that we can't handle. That's a fair assessment, maybe with recruiting more so than anybody else, because I promise you, the guys in our building, they're not going to worry about anything except getting ready for Tennessee. So all the folks that think it'll be a distraction, I can promise you it won't.
What are some of the things that are important to you as a head coach in regard to where you want to spend the rest of your life coaching?
I think, you know, that's a pretty deep question there, John. But I think it's a fair assessment. You see me around the neighborhood, and I think it's really, you know, there's a lot of things that factor into that. We don't have enough time for me to dive into all that right now. But certainly support, quality of life, you know, what you're doing. There's things that are important to me, that what people perceive is an easier job or better job, and things we always as coaches and I've had a great perspective with my family of looking at things and you know, doing what's right for you and your family.
Well, Shane, I gotta say, this worked out perfectly for you and your Vols. Tennessee going into a key Kentucky game, and the damn coaches in the middle of speculation season, FSU looking at Mark Stoops. And this is more than just rumor, Shane, because guys like Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, I think he's probably the best in the business of the college football coaching search stuff. He's saying Kentucky coach Mark Stoops is on FSU's short list at this time. I credit Mark Stoops for, you know, giving an answer here. You know, he obviously doesn't want to get too much into it here, but I didn't hear anything from him here that said, I ain't going to Florida State. Yeah. Did you?
No, that door was not shut, man. You know, I think that door's wide open, and And I'm telling you, nobody's flaming this coaching search more than the Tennessee fan base. I clicked on probably about 15 fake articles today, Mike. You know? I done thought he got hired 10 times, you know. So you always read them handles before you start retweeting anything out there, because Tennessee loves it. Tennessee loves them being sidetracked, man. There's a little advantage to that. You've got a fan base thinking your coach is going to leave. You got players wondering if he's going to be around next year. You know, coach is going to have to, you know, I don't like how he did this in the press conference. Me personally, I think he should have came out and said, "Hey, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere," you know, and put that to rest, because there's a lot of juniors and sophomores and freshmen on that Kentucky team that are wondering, you know, wait a minute, usually when there's smoke, there's fire. And is there a chance that coach is going to be leaving me this year, you know? And instead of focusing on, I think a big picture is the Tennessee Vols. They've got to have a victory here. And I don't know, this couldn't work out any better than for the Tennessee Volunteers, I'm telling you.
And let me put it to fans that don't know, I assume most Kentucky fans know this, but Mark Stoops, you know, his name is going to be a popular one from here on out for just about any and every job, because he's that good of a coach. But what fans around the SEC may not know is he has got, I think, the best contract in college football. I mean, this thing, if he wins 7 games in a year, he automatically gets a 1-year extension, and that's for the life of the deal. He wins 10 games like he did last year, he gets automatic 2 years added to that deal. And, you know, don't think that Kentucky can't pay this man. He's a top 20 paid coach.
Yeah.
So that's why it's always hilarious to me when someone is like, you know, I'll just throw out a school like Syracuse or something. If that opens, they're like, hey, you think they'd get Mark Stoops? They ain't paying him, and they're not giving him this deal that Kentucky – I mean, Kentucky is – I don't want to say bent over backwards, but they've treated Mark Stoops – everything he's deserved, he's gotten, and they've built up a new facility. So I'm not even saying this is a slam dunk that if he gets offered the FSU job, he's leaving. Because if he stays at Kentucky, Shane, I mean, I think we're looking at a run where – at the end of it, he's got a damn statue outside the stadium.
Like, yeah, I mean, he could be the, like Snyder or something down there.
Yeah, exactly. He's that good of a coach, all indications. I mean, his teams do not take a significant step back. But I think, obviously, even Kentucky fans, you got to admit this at the end of the day, it's not going to come down to money, but it may come down to Coach Stoops looking in the mirror and saying, can I win an SEC championship at Kentucky? Can I win a national championship at Kentucky? Not saying those things can never be done, but if you flip it to the other side and say, at Florida State, can I win an ACC title? Can I win a national title? That's a very clear answer that those can be accomplished at FSU. I mean, they've accomplished under multiple coaches. So that's going to be the real test. If he passes on this job, I don't think he's going to pass on another one unless it's damn, you know, the Dallas Cowboys or something. So that's just something to consider. I'm not saying he's leaving. I don't even know if he's a serious candidate, but like I said, serious people are suggesting that he is. But that's something, I mean, this is going to be a storyline to watch for the coming weeks here.
So who was he down there with Bowden?
No, he was down there with Jimbo.
With Jimbo? Yeah, so I'm guaranteed he's probably already called Jim. You know, that's the thing. If you remember, Jimbo, when he left, he was upset that Florida State wasn't taking football more serious down there, you know, that they weren't putting more money into the program. So, you know, I think it's something we talked about. It's a real small network here, a family, and I guarantee he's probably already called Coach about the situation down there and, you know, at least kind of just filling him out. He was just down there, so I don't know. Like you said, he's got it made, man, up there in Kentucky. And but like you said, if his main goal is not job security and just, you know, keeping this job forever, I mean, because he's in a good spot to keep that job for a long time, you know, I mean, it's a little easier to recruit in Florida State. It's a bigger brand as far as football. And I don't know. A lot of things could happen from now to then. But it's something interesting to watch. And like you said, during this conference, he didn't really squash it. It almost felt like, hey, I just don't want to talk about it right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, jumping back to the action here against Tennessee, Shane, this is a critical game for Kentucky. If they want to reach the postseason, they could still lose it and still make the postseason. But, you know, you're talking potentially the difference between going down to Florida for a bowl game. It seems like the players and coaches obviously love that a lot more, as opposed to going to Shreveport for bowl season. So this is huge. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. They're playing some good football, you know, significantly better than they have in weeks past. I mean, suddenly their loss to Georgia looks a lot better already. I mean, I think you can make the argument that, you know, they, outside of Florida, I mean, in South Carolina, they were probably the best competition Georgia's gotten so far this year. So there's a lot riding on it this game, but Tennessee's also riding that streak, and they didn't have that off week, so it's just going to continue into roll into this one. So let's kick it over to Mark Stoops once again on Lynn Bowden and how much he really needed this bye week on defending Juwan Jennings and how big this game is for Wildcat Nation.
Mark, who which one did the athletes benefit the most by the bye?
I think all of our guys did. I think Lynn, you know, is a guy that handles things so well physically, but, you know, playing quarterback mentally, it's very taxing on him. He's done a lot. He's taken a lot of hits. So I think it was good for Lynn, but all of our players, you know, it was always good to continue to work with our young guys in the class that's getting redshirted. So had a good solid week with those guys. You know, continue to build on the good things that we were doing. Maybe areas where we're falling short, look to improve, develop, you know, these guys, get ahead on Tennessee, do some recruiting. So it was a good solid week.
How do you go up against a receiver like Juwan Jennings with the way he's been playing lately?
Yeah, Juwan, impressive player. Just, you know, just a dynamic playmaker. He's, you know, just him and the other receivers on their team, they're big and they're strong. They make plays. So, but he's a real difference maker. You have to know where he's at all the time.
Mark, obviously you're familiar with Derek Ainsley from here. What does his defense look like at Tennessee?
Yeah, Derek is a really great coach. Doesn't surprise me. His unit's getting better and better as the year's going on. You know, you could see them playing extremely hard, competitive, very sound in what they're doing. So Derek's doing a good job, and they're playing better and better as the season going on here.
Mark, for the fans, there are two games every season that mean a little bit more than everything else. I know you as a coach say every game is important, but do you think this team realizes how important this Tennessee game is? And what have you been telling them in terms of strong to finish the season?
I think they do. They do. They feel the energy of our fan base, and, you know, it'll be nice to be at home and have a great crowd and play well at home, you know, so that's our focus. But we will touch on that a bit. You know, we won't overdo it, but I will talk to them about that.
All right, Shane, so this is a game all Kentucky fans circle on their schedule every year, Tennessee, particularly when they get them up in Lexington. And, boy, you can just take my word for it, Shane. We all know Kentucky had a hell of a season last year, and that brought out a lot of pride from that fan base. But I saw it all off season. Anything I tweet out Kentucky, Tennessee fans were quick to be like, you still lost to us in your best season ever. So, I mean, there's some serious bad blood between the fans here, and I expect the Wildcats to show up in full force and really root their team on, because this is probably going to be Kentucky's toughest test the rest of the way. This could be Tennessee's toughest test, too.
Dude, it wasn't just football, man. After football, it's basketball, you know. We've been hating on Kentucky for all year long, just about, you know. So this game means a lot. I wish they had that barrel, man. I wish you could bring that back. That was an awesome tradition, and obviously a horrible situation why they removed it. But I don't know. This game does mean a lot, and it does have a lot riding on it. I mean, we're talking bowl. I mean, if we're going to get to a bowl game, we got to have this victory. If Kentucky's going to get to a bowl, they got to have this victory. So there's a lot riding on this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it down to the other side. Shane, let's jump on down to Rocky Top, where Jeremy Pruitt met with the media here on Monday. And, you know, before I get to his comments, I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but this is something that I want to give this guy a shout out because he brought it to my attention. He's on Twitter at NickHarper91. And how about this stat, Shane? Just kind of showing, you know, we've seen Tennessee improve throughout the season. Arguably, they've made the biggest jump in the middle of the year. Just kind of came out of nowhere. But you can look at it another way too, Shane, from how far this defense in particular has come from last season. Last season, Shane, Tennessee was 8th in the SEC in interceptions, 11th in sacks, so pretty pathetic stats. I know we're only 9 games in. We still got a couple games left. Tennessee 1st in interceptions, tied for 2nd in sacks. I mean, that is a huge jump when you consider the entire defensive line from last year gone. They essentially have one pass rusher they can count on. I know they brought the secondary back. That's been huge. They don't even have that much depth. I mean, they basically got 3 linebackers.
Right.
That's legitimately what they got right now in the middle. I mean, thoughts on the job, Jeremy Pruitt, and let's not forget, I don't think we talk enough about Derek Ansley, the job he's doing. I thought he might be a little in over his head after these first couple games, but, you know, game 4, 5, 6, so on. I mean, they've just shown so much improvement on the defensive side of the ball. Thoughts on Tennessee's improvement, particularly on that defensive side of the ball?
No, that's very big. And I kind of want to bounce back on that Kentucky. I don't think Kentucky has to have this game to make a bowl. I was just looking at their schedule. I think they'll be fine after this. Even if they, you know, when it had took this L, that'd be good because they got Vandy, UT Martin, and Louisville coming up. I think those are 3 victories. And, you know, you talk about finishing strong. I mean, there's a real possibility that Kentucky could end up the season with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 victories. I mean, you talk about catching fire here at the end. You know, now to go back to Tennessee, same kind of the same situation. You know, they're trending up, and they've won the last 2 games. They have an opportunity to win the next 3 and finish the season strong, because people remember what you do in November. You know, I think it's big for recruiting. I think it's big for your coaching staff and for your players, and those extra practices definitely help as well. So this is just a big game all the way around. And I really like what Tennessee's done as far as their defense. You know, the offense has even improved a little bit. You know, I don't want to say it's been all defense, but here of late, they've been shutting these teams down. And I'm really excited with the growth and development of these young players we have on defense.
Well, let me ask you this too, Shane, because as our resident Tennessee homer, you know better than most. I mean, coaches like Butch Jones and Dooley and, hell, Fulmer towards the end of his career. This is a game, no disrespect to Kentucky, this is not the Kentucky of the 90s. It's a completely different animal. But Tennessee fans do not take kindly to losing to Kentucky, and they do not let that shit go. I mean,
no.
This is something that Jeremy Pruitt will be judged on. A lot of people, I mean, he's basically dug himself out of the hole to the most part after this disastrous start to the season. But if you start losing to Kentucky, you lose to Vanderbilt again. I mean, we'll get to that one in a couple weeks. But starting with this Kentucky one, if you lose to Kentucky, I mean, this is going to be Tennessee fans jumping off the ship saying, you know, it's time to get rid of this guy. So how big is this game for Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, I think it is big. Like you said, this isn't your papaw's Kentucky, though. You know what I'm saying? Because back in the day, you know, we had some of the longest streaks against Vanderbilt and teams like Kentucky. These were teams you expected to win. And it's not like that anymore. And but it's teams like Kentucky and Vanderbilt that keep you out of bowl games. So if you're not making those bowl games, then they're not going to keep you around. Just like I wouldn't expect Kentucky to keep Stoops around if he wasn't making bowl games. So like I said, it's not your papaw's Kentucky, but it is important for the Tennessee fan base to not go into this game and get blown out. How many times have we played these guys and got beat? You know, how many times have we played Vanderbilt and got blew out? You know, you just can't have that. This should always be a ball game. And, you know, in Tennessee's eyes, you should always be in a, have the advantage.
All right, Shane. Well, let's kick it over to Jeremy Pruitt, who talked about Tennessee's improvement this season, kind of particularly in the middle of the season. And then on their situation at quarterback, he leaves it kind of vague, but I want to ask you something on the back end here.
I'm just wondering, what was it about this team that kind of enabled y'all to turn things around? What was the mood of the team like at 1-4, and how were y'all able to kind of move forward rather than dwell on what was going wrong at that point?
Well, you have to figure out why we're 1-4, right? It's pretty simple. We turned the football over. We didn't get enough turnovers. We didn't play clean. We had some guys that were injured early in the year or didn't play. And we were young. So it was a recipe for, you know, for not really a whole lot of good, you know. So our kids have come, and our coaching staff done a really good job to get them to come to practice, buy in, compete hard. We've got good leadership on our team. Our guys have never flinched. They just kind of keep working. They believe in what we're doing here. You know, it's amazing when you believe in something, you kind of stay the course. Our kids believe. They believe in what we're doing. They believe in our strength and conditioning, our nutrition, the people that are coaching them, you know, player development. So we've kind of stuck together and just keep grinding it out.
I guess just kind of what's the latest on the quarterback situation? Is Brian going to be full go in practice this week? And if he is healthy, is he the guy that he didn't? You said he didn't get as many reps last week on Saturday after the game. Is he a guy that you guys expect to maybe really push forward this
week?
Yeah,
he was full go last week. You know, he was full go last week. So again, we'll look and see where we're at and who gives us the best opportunity to have success, and we'll play those guys. Might be one of them, might be two of them, might be three of them. So,
Jeremy, it's been a few weeks now. You've been using Jarrett in that six-man type role. I guess, how did you come to the decision to do that, and how do you manage that while also allowing the offense to find a rhythm?
Well, you know, he practiced last week with his hand, you know, after surgery, and done it on Wednesday and Thursday, and there wasn't much issue. But when you – it was cooler Saturday night, so you're a little bit – is there – how's he going to handle it during warm-ups and some of that, you know. So I feel like JT played good enough in the South Carolina game, and he finished the game to start the game. I knew at some point we would, you know, give Jared an opportunity. He didn't take as many snaps during the week as he normally does, but he's a guy that can kind of help glue a lot of things together with, you know, with the other players. And when he does that, we play better, you know. Just comes from having more experience than the other guys, you know. So, but I think it's easy for him. He has the maturity to kind of see and learn from what's going on during the game and apply it. So that's one of the reasons we've done it.
All right, Shane. So according to Pruitt, Brian Maurer was cleared to play last week. Maybe they thought they didn't need him. I mean, clearly they didn't. They dominated UAB. And I'm not even going to ask you which quarterback you want to see, because I already know it's Maurer power for you.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really buying his whole spiel last show about, well, the ball was slick and yada, yada, yada. That's why Garrett Tano didn't start the game. But thoughts on Tennessee's quarterback situation after hearing this? I mean, this made a little bit more sense what Pruitt's talking about of kind of why they're rotating them the way they have, but you know, for anyone that's kind of missed it, it's like, I mean, they're starting JT Schrout, and they give him basically a series, and then they bench him. And then after halftime, they've been putting in Schrout for another series, then they bench him. I mean, this is the damn wildest thing I've ever seen. Basically, the only thing that I can think, and he's not saying it here, they must not trust Trout, maybe like how he's seeing the field or the offense. And basically, I think they're going out with completely scripted plays, stuff he's comfortable with. And then it's like they have to talk to him for the rest of the half, be like, hey, what'd you see out there? I mean, I don't understand it. Do you?
I don't. And maybe he's just trying to wear down the fan base or something, you know, because at this point, I'm done fighting it, you know. I do think Brian's the guy, and I hope we've been holding him back so they could play. But then again, you know, I know we couldn't afford to get him hurt during a UAB game. But, you know, if Brian was a go, I don't understand why you didn't play him some. And even if it was just for a couple of series, just to keep him warm, you know, you don't want him coming in during a Kentucky Big Blue Nation game at home, and we've got to have this victory to make a bowl game. You know, it's just like, why put that much pressure on the guy? You know, you saw what happened, you know, when you tried to do that against, who was it? Was it Florida he came in? Mm-hmm. You know, and he didn't do anything during Florida game. It's just like, why create that unnecessary amount of pressure when you could have eased him in, let him play a few series? Same thing with JT. If you're trying to figure out if he's really got potential, you know, maybe let him run a couple of series and then let Garantano come in. I don't know. It blows my mind just how short the leash is on any quarterback except for Garantano. And who knows? We're watching it, and we don't know exactly what's supposed to be happening. We're assuming when he throws a ball to a certain spot, that's where he was supposed to be throwing, or, you know, we don't know. And maybe he's making bad calls on the field, some pre-snap calls that he's missing or something like that. There could be a whole plethora of things that's going wrong with JT. So I don't want to speculate, but it just kind of puzzles you. It baffles you that we're not seeing more of the other guys. And it really puzzled me not seeing Brian in last week when Coach is coming out here saying that he was a full go.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, a last thing to hit on here. Let's jump on down to Fayetteville.
Woo pig!
Where we're not going to play a clip here because I really just want to ask you a question more than anything else. But Chad Morris did meet with the media here on Monday, announced C.J. O'Grady, tight end, gone from the team, decided to step away. It's obviously never a good thing to lose probably your best player on offense, and it's particularly not a good thing when the wheels are falling off here. So that's kind of where that situation's at. But Chad Morris announced John Stephen Jones going to start the coming game. I mean, this is a critical game here against Western Kentucky. As incredible as that sentence just was that I said, an SEC team critical against Western Kentucky, but that's where we're at. He says KJ Jefferson will play, and I guess you could call this a little bit of a mailbag question here, but on our Reddit page, user not a bad driver, not I feel like he's a bad driver based on that name, but he had a question here. I answered it, but I want to get your thoughts on it first. Basically, what do you think of this, Shane, where Ben Hicks, Nick Starkle, not going to play, and now we're flipping over here to John Stephen Jones, KJ Jefferson. I mean, what does that say about Chad Morris in your mind that he's making this switch at this point?
Saving his job, man. That's what it sounds like to me. You got to play some of the young guys, but, you know, the fans want KJ. And the fact that he came out and said Jones was going to start, but KJ's going to play, you know, kind of, you know, maybe he doesn't feel like KJ can do it, but, you know, he's got already the short leash on him or something. That's what I'm gathering, is that he's just kind of starting to cater toward the fans because that's what they want to see. And I'll tell you what, man, because if the fans are upset, the fans are pissed, and they're not showing up to the game, Coach is out, you know. So at least you got something here at the end to be excited about, but it still blows my mind that he didn't just say, you know what, the hell with it, we're going to run with Jefferson and let him play. You know, he's the only production that we got Saturday. So let's let the fans see how good or bad he is.
Well, how about this angle? Once again, this is from not a bad driver. He suggested that John Steven Jones getting a start to appease Jerry Jones so we don't fire him.
I wouldn't argue that, Mike. I wouldn't.
But going back to this quarterback situation, Shane, because Arkansas could still win this game against Western Kentucky at home in Ty Story. And I think they still got to fire Chad Morse. I mean, it's not like that's going to save his job. And my point going to these guys, last week, I mean, all these coaches say, oh, yeah, every game's a must-win. That's kind of bullshit. Last week truly was a must-win for Arkansas. I mean, that was an opportunity to get some momentum, to get an SEC win. Hell, maybe they string together two or three. I mean, probably not, but had they been able to get that Mississippi State win, it would have given them some life. And they went into that game with Ben Hicks, and now he's automatically third.
Yeah.
Third string. I mean, it just continues, and I'm people at this point probably think like Chad Morse, you know, slept with my mom or something. It's not personal, but this guy's got no idea what he's doing. I mean, he's just one week to the next, he's flipping and flopping, going to this quarterback and that quarterback, and I don't even think he would even mention KJ Jefferson if he didn't throw him out on the field, and he had such a great performance, and everybody's like, what in the hell? I mean, this should have been like eight games ago. This is too late. It's too late to save his job. It's too late for anything. It's just, I think he's just totally clueless.
Oh, you think so? I mean, and this is coming from me. Just, I'm complaining about the quarterback situation up here, yet I'm even more frustrated with the quarterback situation down there. It's just like, you know, it'd be one thing if we didn't see what we saw last week. I think that killed him. I think that crushed him, crushed his soul. KJ coming in there and scoring a touchdown on his one drive. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody for the longest time said, hey, let's get this guy some playing time. He can't be any worse than what we got out there. And then he comes out there, does one series, scores a touchdown, comes out after the game saying, yeah, he did okay, you know. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, if my quarterback came out there and gave me a touchdown on my opening drive, I may play him a little bit more. I mean, anybody would come out with that same idea. I don't know. I think you're right. I think he's done. I hate it for Arkansas because this does set them back, man. But if they can get somebody in there now, you know, if they can go ahead and fire him now and get somebody ahead of the recruiting curve, because the last thing you want is to hire somebody right before this recruiting deadline. You know what I'm saying? Because then you're another season behind. Get somebody now. Who do you think would take his job right now? Is anybody available that would just like leave their job? You think Lane Kiffin would leave?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone like that. Arkansas is a really good team. They just got all these brand new facilities. They just got done renovating the stadium. I mean, this is set up ideally. They just got to make the mistake. They can't, in my opinion, I really like the talent there. I mean, they're obviously going to be losing some guys, but stick to a spread offense because you got some pieces there to do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do 2-3 years of this again where you're trying to
find the system. Yeah, I got
right,
you.
Right. Don't do that. So just hire someone that can go with these pieces. And hell, Shane, I think Arkansas, I thought that this roster is good to go now. I think, I mean, I know there's holes, but they're not 0-16 in the SEC polls. You know what I mean?
But you get somebody in there with some name, some clout, and you get them in there early where they can, you know, fill out the recruiting class, maybe even pull some of these guys that they lost back on, you know, just something like that. Obviously, you got to search for a quarterback because his boy is gone, you know, so you're going to have to get you another quarterback lined up. But you already have one on the roster, you know, that apparently has the potential to move this offense. So I'm with you. I think the pieces are there. They're going to have to fix some holes. But
how about this idea, Shane? I know this is crazy, but you said someone they can get in there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know a guy that would go tomorrow will be a huge upgrade. And we know this guy loves the coach. He's one of the best damn coaches in SEC history. You know who it is?
Les Miles?
Steve Spurrier, baby. Throw him in there. He's good to go.
No.
Perfect. That would be perfect. Let him finish out the year.
I'm telling you, man, you can't sleep on Les. And I know a lot of people are giving him a hard time, but what he's been able to do over there in 1 year at Kansas is remarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, he hung in a lot of games over there. People like him. He can recruit well. I think that's one that I'd be interested in as well.
Mm-hmm. And you'd kind of stick it to the AD who used to be at Arkansas. They got rid of him. Now he's at Kansas. So
yeah,
I think Arkansas fans get behind that move. All right, quickly, Shay, final thing here. This, we can just go over this quickly. Texas A&M announced a new home-and-home series with Louisville, 2028 at A&M, 2029 Louisville. So a decade off here, but that's at least we got another home-and-home here.
Yeah. I don't like Louisville. I wish they'd do somebody else. Who would you like? I'd like to see somebody like
Texas?
Mick. that'd be a perfect one. But somebody up there, you know, Michigan or Ohio State, somebody, those guys never do home and homes, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the one Michigan used to, but that's the ones I'd want to see. Louisville, yeah. You know, Kentucky plays these cats every year and smokes them, so whatever.
All right, Shane, so that's all I got. You got anything before we hop off here?
No, that's it, man. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us. The ratings reviews really do help us out. I swear one day I am going to get to all these. I'm just going to make a special pod for that, emergency pod. And I will tell you, man, the koozies were awesome. It was an awesome idea, Mike. And I love they made it everywhere. I seen them at the Florida-Georgia game. I seen them at the Arkansas game. Seen them at the South Carolina-Vandy game. They were floating around, so that was awesome to see those picks. So if you're at one of those games, yeah, send the picks. That really is awesome. I appreciate everybody taking the time to do that.
Yeah, and if you want to get your koozie, give us a 5-star written review. Send us that over, and we'll ship out a koozie to you. Hit us up on thatsecpodcast@gmail.com or on the Twitters or on the Reddit. And we're always available and we're willing to send those out to you. We really appreciate all the reviews. We wanted to give something back in kind. So that's going to do it, Shane, for this one. Thanks for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.